Just take a moment and remember. Remember yourself. Remember why you're here. Remember what Shavaya means to you. Remember the great heart of your own being. Remember the possibility of a mind that is spacious as the sky. And as you breathe in, really breathe in that sense of spaciousness, filling yourself with the sweet mystery of your own presence. It's so beautiful. And just take a few moments and just really rest there. Rest in the beauty of your own presence. Rest in the sweetness of your own being. Rest in the power that lives in every cell. And just rest there a moment. So, my darlings, here we are, back after a long summer. If it gets too hot in here, I'll open the windows. But I was concerned about the traffic noise, so maybe come closer. We're sort of coming. We have three new people here tonight who are going to end up right in the front, which is always a scary place to be. But that's okay. We don't bite. There you go. Yeah, that's better. Yeah, that would kill it. Yeah. You guys want to come up more? Sean, you want to come up more?
Sure.
Come. This is so weird. You're Debbie, right? Come closer. Come.
Me?
Yeah, come up. Just want to get these guys closer.
I'll be sitting on the...
No, hardly. There we go. Is that better? They just looked so out in outer Siberia over there. It's funny, you know, everything's an illusion, right? Everything is relative. I always think of this as such a small room, but you guys seem so far. as some of you know, I was in Cape Cod, I guess it was last week, and I was playing for yoga classes that a very dear old friend teaches. And when they were doing Shavasana, I would chant Om Namah Shivaya over them while they were in Shavasana. And we happened to have class on 9/11. And I had such a sublime experience during that chanting of Om Namah Shivaya. I went into a very deep place, which I usually don't allow myself to in a situation like that, because I want to be more present to the room. But the shakti just took me. And I started having visions. Not so much visions, more memories, but it was in that visionscape way. And I kept seeing all the towers coming down again on 9/11, and just the towers coming down, and, you know, the horrible people having to jump out of the buildings, and the fire, and just the horror of it all. And I'm having this experience as I'm chanting Om Namah Shivaya. And it was such a profound experience of everything is contained within the self. Everything, from the most sublime to the most horrendous, it's all contained within the self. And the self can hold it all. It's big enough to hold all the suffering of the world, and also all the joy, all the horror and all the beauty. And in that spaciousness, there's no duality. It was so just, it's all one. And yes, that was a horrible, horrible, horrible event. And I hate to think that it's part of everything else, but it is, and it was. And we are all that, and we hold all that. And of course, we want to be sublime. We want to leave no footprint. We want to leave only beauty and kindness in our footsteps. But we also want to be able to hold everything. And that when we do that, when we shift into that perspective, no matter what is arising in our life, we're always big enough to hold it. And that's the great mystery of the self. That's the great mystery embedded in the mantra Om Namah Shivaya. We are that. We are that hugeness that contains everything. I was, believe it or not, I was sewing this evening my bag that I carry all my stuff in, the little strap, the hand thing that you hold. I noticed at the end of the summer season, when I got home, I noticed the strap on the bag had ripped, or just it's sort of come undone. And it was one of those, well, I don't have class again until September, so. And of course, I completely forgot about it. And then tonight at around 6 o'clock, I remembered, oh my God, I have to stitch that bag up, or I might not be able to carry my stuff in. So I get out my little trusty sewing kit. I thread a needle, and it's a black bag, so I thread black thread. And these almost 70 years old eyes of mine, even with reading glasses, don't see so well anymore in a situation like that. So I could barely see the black thread against the black bag. And I don't know what my problem is. I guess I love light, but I don't like light. So there's no really strong light in my house. So I really could barely see the black thread. But it was like, yeah, I'm sewing away anyway. And it's hard because the bag is, you know, it's like the stiff canvassy. This guy here. I'll show you. You couldn't even tell. This is why we don't like light, because you can see it looks perfect. If you look at it close up, you'll see what a disaster it is. But anyway, I'm proud of myself, right? I mean, it looks good. So, but at a certain point, the thread fell out of the needle. And then it took me a while to find it. And then I found it and I rethreaded the needle and I did a few more stitches and it kept falling out of the needle. And I'm sitting there thinking, what the hell is the teaching here for me? Like, why am I getting this stupid teaching right now before I have to leave for class? And then I realized that was a metaphor of the self. I don't even know if I can articulate. It's like we are made of the very same fabric or thread as the self. It's all the same. But the mind, it contracts into this absurd idea that it's separate, right? It falls out of the needle. It forgets what it is. And it loses itself. But the truth is, it was never lost because it's all the same. And it's just that shift between the small thread and the big tapestry. And there really is no separation. And that's where we always begin, at the first class of the new season. And when we really, I mean, you all know this, it's so simple. When we just let it be, it's so bloody simple. You know, generally the first class of the new season is, you know, it seems like it's almost always a Shiva class. And I've been kind of sick, I wasn't feeling really inspired, I pulled down a bunch of Mary Oliver, nothing was speaking to me. You know when Mary Oliver's not speaking to me, there's nothing to say. So I figured, all right, I have nothing to say tonight. That's fine. We'll chant the whole time. And then I get a text from Shmidan. I'm coming. I'll see you in class. I was like, right. So, but I am going to read you a little from the Tao Te Ching. Raquel will be excited to know we're done with Bhagavad Gita. Like, over it.
I am ecstatic.
I knew you would be. So if anybody read, I sent an e-blast. I'm trying to switch over to use MailChimp instead of always email. So we created a Monday night class list on the MailChimp and blah, 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 blah. I sent this really sweet little e-blast when I was on the Cape. But, you know, I can see how many people open those things when I use MailChimp. Only 34% of the people that got them open them. So I don't know. This is like the NSA. That's like
you need to use Facebook micro targeting with the Russians.
It's like the NSA, right?
Open the
store. Sure, yeah, I know. It's so bloody hot. Yeah, it's fine. There's no one here but us. Thank you. We can open windows. You guys decide if you'd rather. It's traffic, it's car noise, or suffocation. See if that works. We could probably turn the AC on, actually, if anyone can figure out how to do it. That's not my strong suit.
This is better.
This is much better, yeah. Now, wait, what am I talking about?
MailChimp.
Oh, MailChimp. Right, MailChimp. You know, it's like an email sending thingamajig.
Like Constant Contact.
Right, exactly. So I've been paying Constant Contact $40 a month for years, and I hardly send e-blasts. So I finally figured out, this is ridiculous. I don't send e-blasts anymore. So I called them up to say I'm canceling. So they begged me to say, they said, we'll charge you only $20 a month for a year. How's that? I said, fine. But then, in the meantime, I figured out how Keith actually taught me how to do MailChimp, which is free. So anyway, this is very, very boring. But there was a point here. Oh, yeah, the e-blast from Cape Cod.
34% opened it.
I know, but
the, other nothing to say.
But what was the point? There was a really good point.
I said something.
Something. It's gone. Anyway.
There was a quote from the time.
What? It was what?
You included a
quote.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Raquel. Yes.
I did open it.
That was very.
I didn't read it.
No, I knew you did because you sent me an email. You and Claudia both sent, yay. So, those 34% of you who opened it know that I was going all the way back as far as I could in the blog while I was on Cape Cod looking for something. And although I only started that blog, I forget when it was, 2010 or something like that, so it's not from the very beginning of class, but it goes back pretty far. And I found the 7 year ago first September class when we were reading Tao Te Ching. That's when we first started the blog, was when we were doing Tao Te Ching. So that sort of inspired, and it's such a great text. I'll take this over Bhagavad Gita any day of the week, really. I mean, no contest. So, I like Bhagavad Gita, don't get me wrong, but I got sick of it. Anyway, I mean, I get sick of all these texts. But anyway, so I decided we would read Tao Te Ching for a while from the back to the front.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't that cool?
That's how I read.
Is it? Read magazines from the back also. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, I don't know
why. Why do we do that?
I don't know.
It's oppositional.
Yes.
No, and then Shridanda got this great new piece of equipment. It's not recording exactly. It's a looping machine.
Loop station.
So he's playing this. So he's playing our music backwards. Oh. It's so cool. We were playing around this morning. So we play something and he makes a loop and then he runs it backwards. Which is why we're not going to do yoga kirtan anymore, because we're more interested in backward looping music.
Yes.
Except here. So anyway, so the very last verse is perfect. If I can see it, I think I can. Where's my phone? I don't know. I just need a bit of light. Oh, thank you. Oh, yeah, thanks. There we go. True words aren't eloquent. Eloquent words aren't true. Wise men don't need to prove their point. Men who need to prove their point aren't wise. True words aren't eloquent. Eloquent words aren't true. Wise men don't need to prove their point. Men who need to prove their point aren't wise. The master has no possessions. The more he does for others, the happier he is. The more he gives to others, the wealthier he is. The Tao nourishes by not forcing, by not dominating. The master leads. True words aren't eloquent. Eloquent words aren't true. Wise men don't need to prove their point. Men who need to prove their point aren't wise. The master has no possessions. The more he does for others, the happier he is. The more he gives to others, the wealthier he is. The Tao nourishes by not forcing. The Tao nourishes by not forcing. The Tao nourishes by not forcing, by not dominating. The master leads. And again, really let this really come alive inside of you. And again, understand that the master is the self. All these sacred texts, they're really a dialogue between the self and the mind. The Tao nourishes by not forcing. It doesn't have to force. It just is. By not dominating, the master leads. The master has no possessions. The more he does for others, the happier he is. The more he gives to others, the wealthier he is. Wise men and women don't need to prove their point. Men who need to prove their point aren't wise. It's so true. Tao nourishes by not forcing, by not dominating. The master leads. So again, just let that settle in. Thank you, Shudan. So simple. We just have to remember that we're the thread in the tapestry, and there's no separation. Even when we fall out of the needle, we're still here. Every time we remember to shift into the big consciousness of the self, we may not be here anymore, but we are here. And the more we live in the radiance of the self, the less attention we need from others. The need to be right goes away. The need for recognition goes away. The need for attention goes away. The need for drama goes away. The addiction to suffering goes away. And we just open up, opening up, opening, opening, opening into the fullness that we are. Where everything is eloquence, but it doesn't need to be. And we become a leader not because we have any interest in leading, but because we have so much light. People just kind of follow. not because they want to be led, but because the light is shining. And we all have that. Some people, it's buried so deep, you begin to wonder, but it's always there.